Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's Tuesday in the Easter Octave. Feels like a Monday, especially if you had the Easter Monday or little Easter off, as they say. But hope your Easter is going well so far. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen, exclamation point, underline. So I have to tell you before I give you the rundown. On Easter Sunday, before we went to Easter dinner, Deacon Dom and I pulled up our emails, and we saw the email from EWTM because we subscribe to the email list and their newsletters. I have to tell you, we sat there for over 2 hours and watched the videos, including the really cool interview that our very own Doug Keck did with our very own Father Robert Spitzer for the great show, Father Spitzer's Universe. It was all about the Shroud of Turin, and, you know, Father Spitzer is just so brilliant anyway, but he has studied the Shroud of Turin extensively. So it was such a good interview and a good show. It flew by. So we watched that. We read all these different articles and links, and they had page upon page of why do we celebrate Easter? Where does the word come from? What did this pope say? What did this saint say? I mean, links to different homilies. I mean, it was so powerful to have all those resources and just to share them as husband and wife and just sit there. I didn't know this. Did you know this? I didn't know this. And the interesting points that were brought out about the Shroud that I had not heard before. But you have to go and watch yourself if you want to know. I mean, that show was so good. I think it was from 2017, so it's a few years old, but still obviously very timely. Now, there had been some talk that the Shroud was going to be exposed again for veneration in the Jubilee year next year, but we have been monitoring that very closely because Steve and Janet Ray and Dominic and I are doing a Saints and Shrines tour together in May, and that was going to be part of it, but we have not heard anything yet, nothing yet in terms of whether the Shroud is going to be exposed for veneration. It is located in San Giovanni Battista, or St. John the Baptist Church, in beautiful Torino, Italy, in northwestern Italy. It's a beautiful, very regal city, and the church is breathtakingly gorgeous as well. So we'll keep you posted if we hear anything. But, of course, you'll also hear it right here on many of our outlets and our wonderful news operations. Okay, coming up on the show today, on this Tuesday, Greg and Julie Alexander join us in the wonderful Alexander House, Mornings on Marriage. And we're also going to be visited by one of my favorite people, Father Joseph Fessio, founder and editor of Ignatius Press and spokesperson not only for Ignatius Press but for these wonderful Ignatius book fairs that they're doing. And you hear so much right out there in the culture about all these different public libraries and these so-called schools, educational systems that are pushing all these transgender and LGBTQ content that's very inappropriate, well, for anybody, quite frankly, but especially for kids. So where do you go to get good Catholic books? Are there events that are being had or could be had in your area? Well, Father Fessio will fill us in, and hopefully we can get an update on how the movie Cabrini is doing and the book Cabrini, World Too Small, which I endorse, by the way. And we'll talk to him about that. So that is a show today for a Monday morning. See, I said it. I knew I was going to do that. Feels like a Monday because we had yesterday off. It's actually Tuesday, okay? April 2nd. No April Fools, April 2nd. All right. So weather-wise, some pretty bad storms coming through. National Weather Service is telling us severe weather across the Ohio and Tennessee valleys. And then we also have fire weather concerns in southwest Texas. So here's the summary. A substantial severe weather risk existing through this afternoon and this evening. And this is across portions of the Ohio and Tennessee valleys and into the mid-Atlantic states. Also, tornadoes, very large hail, and damaging winds will be possible. Gusty winds and dry conditions will also contribute to elevated to critical fire weather over southeastern Texas. Now, those conditions with the fires will be, unfortunately, through the end of the week, so keep that in mind if you're in those affected areas. Almost 5 minutes past the hour, so appreciate your listenership. Don't forget, check us out online. We're co-produced by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. Websites, of course, jot it down if you're a new listener, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. It's news time. Let's get started on a Tuesday. Here we go. Well, Pope Francis marking Easter Monday today, or yesterday actually. See, there I go again. It's actually a Tuesday, but feels like a Monday. With a reminder to the faithful that the resurrection of Jesus is not just wonderful news or the happy ending of a nice story, but something that changes our lives completely and forever. The Holy Father celebrated the occasion at St. Peter's Square after a long weekend of busy Easter events. Cardinal Wilton Gregory, the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., over the weekend asserted that President Joe Biden picks and chooses elements of the Catholic faith to follow, that he is sincere in his faith, but he refuses to engage with some of the challenging aspects of Catholicism.
But like a number of Catholics, he picks and chooses dimensions of the faith to highlight while ignoring or even contradicting other parts. There is a phrase that we have used in the past, a cafeteria Catholic. You choose that which is attractive and dismiss that which is challenging.
The Cardinal, making the remarks on the CBS News program Face the Nation over the weekend on Easter Sunday, he appeared on the panel, as Catholic News Agency explains, with pro-abortion Episcopal Bishop of Washington, Marion Budd. She disputed Gregory's remarks, arguing that it's possible to be a practitioner of the faith as a public leader and not require everyone that you lead in your country to be guided by all the precepts of your faith. She said, "I love the spectrum of life," but claimed during the interview that you can be an adherent of the spectrum of life and still support abortion. President Biden saying yesterday, meanwhile, that he didn't do that when asked about the official White House proclamation declaring March 31st, the same day as Easter, as Transgender Day of Visibility. Fox News says in an exchange with reporters at the annual White House Easter egg roll, he declined responsibility for the proclamation when asked specifically about House Speaker Mike Johnson's criticism of the action. Over the weekend, Johnson wrote in a post on X, "The White House betrayed the central tenet of Easter," adding that the proclamation was outrageous and abhorrent. The timing of the Transgender Day of Visibility proclamation generated widespread outrage among Christians who characterize its timing with Easter as disrespectful. Meanwhile, a recent poll from Pew Research found that just 13% of Americans think of Biden as very religious, while 41% say he is somewhat religious, and another 44% say he's not at all or not too religious. Gordon Bird tells us the Florida Supreme Court willing to allow two proposed constitutional amendments, including one regarding abortion, to go on the ballot this fall.
The Florida Supreme Court approves an amendment on abortion rights while simultaneously giving the green light to allow the state's 6-week and 15-week abortion bans to take effect for now. Those were passed by lawmakers over the past 2 years. The High Court is also allowing an amendment that would legalize recreational marijuana use for those over 21. State Attorney General Ashley Moody had opposed both amendments, arguing that they were misleading. Both proposals will go to the voters in November, needing 60% support to pass.
Police in Tennessee investigating after they say a trailer full of Bibles was intentionally set on fire near a church just before Easter Sunday services. It happened near the Global Vision Bible Church, whose pastor is no stranger to spotlights. Some may remember Pastor Greg Locker having hosted former Republican and outspoken Trump supporter Roger Stone at his church in the past. While the pastor and authorities are saying that they believe it was deliberate, they also add that no further specific details are being released at this time to uphold the integrity of the police investigation. Benjamin Netanyahu is moving to shut down news network Al Jazeera in Israel. The Israel prime minister is saying he would act immediately to implement the law that was just passed against the Qatar-based news company. He accused Al Jazeera of supporting Hamas in the October attack and also accused some of its journalists of working with the terrorist group. The Biden administration said it's concerned over Israel's passage of the law, citing freedom of the press. And one Republican senator says Israeli forces need to move into southern Gaza to win the war with Hamas.
They know that they have to go into Rafah to destroy Hamas. They have to destroy Hamas. They need America's support, but they're going to go into Rafah to get rid of Hamas, whether the U.S. supports them or not.
Florida Senator Rick Scott speaking on Fox News after returning from a trip to Israel. He said he met with the Israeli prime minister as well as with families of hostages being held captive by Hamas. The Biden administration has expressed concerns with Israel's plans for Rafah as millions of people seeking refuge are currently in that city. And Mark Mayfield tells us a top Iranian military commander was targeted in an Israeli airstrike on the Iranian embassy in Syria, and that happened yesterday.
Iran State TV confirms the commander in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard was killed in the attack. It's believed the commander was in charge of shipping Iranian weaponry to Hezbollah militants based in Lebanon. Israeli troops have been fighting Hezbollah along Lebanon's southern border since the war with Hamas broke out. The White House says it's looking into the incident.
Maryland Governor Wes Moore says progress is being made in the effort to clear debris from the Port of Baltimore ship channel following last week's bridge collapse. He says crews are dealing with a project of simply an enormous scale.
They cut up and lifted a piece of the north section of the Key Bridge. The entire operation took 10 hours. And in that time, they were able to cut and lift a 200-ton span.
Yesterday afternoon on Monday, the tugboat Crystal Coast was able to transit the channel, pushing a barge to supply jet fuel to the Department of Defense at Dover Air Force Base. It was the first vessel to use the channel since the bridge collapsed. The temporary channel is on the northeast side of the main channel near the bridge with a controlling depth of 11 feet, a 264-foot horizontal clearance, and vertical clearance of about 95 feet. The Unified Command is working on a second channel on the southwest side that will allow for deeper draft vessels. And as we mentioned in the weather, thunderstorms are indeed moving across the country, the southeast to the Ohio Valley, bringing the risk of tornadoes, high winds, and damaging hail today. The storms hit part of the country hard yesterday from Texas to Illinois, with at least three tornadoes reported in Oklahoma and hailstones the size of baseballs as well. The storms are a particular threat today in Ohio and parts of Kentucky, Indiana, and West Virginia. And a man is in custody after allegedly ramming his car into a security gate at an FBI office in Georgia. Law officials say the suspect tried to follow another vehicle to get through the gate and enter the facility, but security measures stopped him. Video from the scene showed the car's front end smashed as it sat just inside the gate area north of Atlanta. Lawmakers could vote on additional aid for Ukraine when Congress returns from Easter recess next week. During an interview on Fox News Sunday Night in America, House Speaker Mike Johnson said the supplemental includes funding for Ukraine, Israel, and the Indo-Pacific. It's unclear what's in the package or if Johnson will put the supplemental that passed the Senate last week up for a major vote. Jim Forge tells us more than 400,000 cars are being recalled, the recall underway by Kia.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says certain Telluride SUV models could roll away while in park because shaft components may not be fully engaged. The recall includes 2020 to 2024 model years. No injuries have been reported, but Kia says owners should use the emergency parking brake until their cars are fixed.
AT&T sending letters to customers saying data from 73 million accounts has been leaked on the dark web. Cybersecurity expert Elon Tredney says personal information such as social security numbers could be at risk.
Even if you did not get a letter, if you have ever used any of the AT&T services, assume that if your information was with them, it has been breached.
He says you should change your password, add multi-factor authentication, and check your credit card score. No word yet on how the hack happened. AT&T already sent millions of customers account passwords and is offering free credit monitoring where they can do so. And new numbers show you'll need to have a six-figure income, as Rory O'Neill tells us, to afford a house in nearly half of all U.S. states.
With median home prices now over $400,000, Bankrate says household income should top 110 grand to afford that typical home. That's a 46% increase from 4 years ago, and now 22 states have that six-figure income threshold for an average house. Mississippi, Ohio, Arkansas, Indiana, and Kentucky are least expensive, around 65 grand for income. You'll need to earn triple that amount to buy a home in California or Hawaii.
And finally, in our news segment on a busy Tuesday that feels like a Monday in the octave of Easter, the last living survivor of the Japanese attack on the USS Arizona in Pearl Harbor has died. Lou Conter passing away yesterday in Grass Valley, California, according to a local TV station. Conter was 18 when he enlisted in the Navy and was at his post on the morning of December 7, 1941, when Japanese bombers targeted the Arizona and dozens of other ships at the port. After surviving the attack, he went to flight school and later flew with the Black Cats, the first U.S. version of a stealth bomber. He was 102 years old. Well, bless his heart for the service he gave to our country. Almost 15 minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in on Tuesday. It is April 2nd. Good to be with you. Looking forward to our guests coming up right after the break. Greg and Julie Alexander talking about the importance of intimacy in marriage. But that word intimacy has a lot of different meanings. And unfortunately, in the world today, our over-sexualized culture only means one thing, but there's so much more to it, especially in a good Catholic marriage. Greg and Julie are with the Alexander House, and they join us regularly for a monthly installment called Mornings on Marriage. And then a good friend of EWTN's and Ave Maria Radio's, his name is Father Joseph Fessio. He is from Ignatius Press. Today we're going to be talking about the Ignatius Book Fairs. That's coming up at 39 minutes past the hour. And I wanted to say a big happy birthday to a friend of mine who works with me at Teresa Tomeo Communications. Her name is Palma. She's 85 years young. She's 100% Italian from the Abruzzo region, and she is a phenomenal member of the T-Team, as we call it. She is just a whiz on social media, and she doesn't look 85. She looks like maybe 70. I'm serious. She's gorgeous. Gorgeous inside and out. Happy birthday, Tanto Gore, buon capleano, my dear Italian sister Palma. We'll be right back. It is a Tuesday morning. Stay tuned.
Hi, Vanessa Denha-Garmo here, inviting you to tune into Epiphany. We're made to praise God and celebrate our faith. I want to encourage listeners to connect, communicate, and collaborate with the faith community. Life is a journey, and along the way, we have those epiphany moments that bring us closer to Christ. Please partner with me and celebrate the diversity of our Catholic Church.
Epiphany, weekdays at noon, only on Ave Maria Radio.
For Christians, love was central to everything, because before the creation of the universe, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lived in all eternity, communicating in love between themselves. This is going on before there's ever a moment that we refer to as in the beginning. So Christianity introduces into the history of human thought this idea that love is underneath it all. In fact, Luke Berry, this atheist philosopher writer, says, it's quite clear that without this Christian belief that love is at the center of things, we would not have our human rights revolution that we talk about today. We take this for granted. You know, we have gay rights and women's rights and transgender rights and minority rights and this right and that right. There'd be no rights whatsoever without the incarnate Son of God.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and the Ave Maria Radio app.
Join Charity Mobile, the pro-life, pro-family phone company for nearly 30 years. New customers get a free phone or $100 off, plus free shipping and free activation. Use promo code AVE, A-V-E. There's no contracts or termination fees. 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. Our pro-life reps are based in the USA. Enjoy great coverage and great service. Join Charity Mobile, and by the way, you believe. Go to charitymobile.com/AVE.
Tuesday, the Octave of Easter, our guests Greg and Julie Alexander join us, the beautiful marriage coaching ministry of the Alexander House, and make sure you get all the details. And this morning for our Morning on Marriage segment, we are going to be talking about intimacy in marriage. And Greg and Julie, thanks for joining us. Greg, let me go to you first, and we were emailing in preparation for the show today. That word intimacy in marriage has a different connotation in the world than it does in the Catholic sense, correct? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, you're welcome, Teresa. Yes, it does. In fact, intimacy in and of itself just means a closeness in the relationship, and more specifically, physical intimacy, where what we want to focus on today. And that's really one that gets taken out of context. You know, as you said in the intro, in this over-sexualized culture we live in, you know, you talk about physical intimacy, people's direction just goes straight to sex, and they think it's all about sex. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more that physical intimacy encompasses in a marriage relationship. You know, everything from simple touch or the way we demonstrate affection or even addressing or ministering to each other's basic needs in a marriage relationship. So it covers a whole lot.
Well, Teresa, it just takes such a crucial, it's a crucial role in fostering a strong and lasting bond, because we're here to be one, the two become one in more ways than just what people typically think is intimacy. But intimacy is knowing, understanding the other, and allowing the other to know and understand you. And it is so critical when we look at the most important part that we see when we do our workshops. People will come and they will sit there for 8 hours, and they will sit next to each other, and they will not even hold hands or touch. And when we encourage them, sometimes force them to have to touch, they don't give us very nice looks because they're not used to doing that, and it's unfortunate because we haven't been given that understanding of what intimacy really is all about.
So, Greg, what would you say is the Catholic, in a Catholic marriage, what would be the definition of intimacy, do you think?
Again, the ability to draw closer, to move closer in the relationship. And again, what's important is to make sure that that is mutually expressed and demonstrated, not just one-sided, which a lot of times is what starts to happen in the marriage. You know, one or the other may feel slighted at, I'm always doing, I'm always giving to you, I'm always saying I love you, I'm always touching you, you never touch me. And so, again, it's remembering that there must be that mutual reciprocity, if you will, of demonstrating that physical fulfillment, the physical intimacy.
Yeah, the physical ways, again, Teresa, the best physicality that I see in Greg is when he's vacuuming and ironing and dishes.
Sweetheart,
I love that.
It's supposed to be testing you, not testing a vacuum.
But anyway, it just gets back to that point because, again, we talk about that. It cannot be done, Teresa, in the Catholic sense. We think about our intimate relationship with Jesus, our intimate relationship with the Blessed Mother and with the Church, with all the angels and saints that we talk about. Intimacy is getting to know, spending time with, even being in the silence of the other, but just being in the presence to grow in love, to grow in trust, to grow in just that connection. Connection is huge because a lot of times we go in our world and we're not connected to anything, and we wonder why we're
right.
miserable, why we're depressed, why we're lonely. All those things have an effect on how we are intimate with each other.
But we're laughing about the vacuum thing, but here's the deal, and Greg, you know this, you guys have been married a long time, and we chuckle because, but the thing is, as a wife or a husband, if let's say whoever does the housework, because I know a lot of guys chip in and they're great, but sometimes if the mom has been home or the father has been home dealing with the kids, whomever, you're exhausted and you need help maybe to get up and cook dinner, or, you know, what are we having for dinner? What are we making for dinner reservations? Which I like that one a lot. But to do those little things mean that you are connected to the person and knowing that they're tired, or knowing what really makes them feel loved, right?
Absolutely. And it's just showing that I am cognizant of the things that you're doing in a relationship. I see that you're busy. So you know what? When you come home, I know you had a crazy day. I'll fix dinner, or I'll go to the grocery store. I'll take care of the kids. And again, it's looking into the life of the other person to see how can I jump in and to make that load a lot easier for you to be able to carry. That's a great point, Teresa.
Yeah, it was funny. For Christmas, I put a bow on the vacuum cleaner, and Greg laughed so hard. And I was like, you don't understand. And he does. He understands. But it was funny. It was a laughter moment for us because it became this. When he helps me and sees my struggle and my stress and all those things, it is so much easier for me to, again, when you let your guard down, when you let the things in your heart just be open to the other person, that is what we mean by intimacy, to be open, trusting, and there to serve one another. He's laughing.
I'm wondering about this vacuum cleaner thing. She's trying to give me a mystery.
If we hear the vacuum running in the background during the rest of the show, we'll know what's going on. We're talking with Greg and Julie Alexander from the Alexander House. It's a wonderful marriage ministry, thealexanderhouse.org. Check it out. And they're marriage coaches. They do retreats for churches, for dioceses. I highly recommend them. They're very engaging and funny and real. And they've lived, and gone through an awful lot. And they also wrote the introduction for our book, Intimate Graces, and have their own book on marriage as well, Marriage 911. And so we have about a minute left. So Greg, let's talk about the witness of people who are intimate with each other and who understand each other. What kind of witness does that give, do you think?
It speaks volumes. You know, a lot of times we remind the couples in a marriage relationship that they have a responsibility of allowing the world, especially their children, to see the very love of God. And a lot of times that is indeed expressed in our physical intimacy in a relationship. You know, I remember one morning we were taking the kids to school and they had a friend riding with them. And as always, Julie, she reaches over and she grabs my hand. And the little girl, the friend of our daughter's, was like, oh, my goodness, what is it? That is so sick. Why are they doing that? And it's because she never saw it demonstrated. And she just thought it was the weirdest thing for us to be driving in the car holding hands. But, you know, but again, that demonstrates to the world the oneness, the love that is shared in the relationship.
Yeah, we speak often, Teresa, but seldom using words. Again, when people look across the street or they see people, when I see an elderly couple holding hands walking down the street, my heart melts. And it's because I'm knowing that that right there is so intimate. I know that they haven't had a perfect life or what they've been through. It seems like the more people have gone through and they stick together, the more intimate they show the world about what it means to stick it out, to stay together, and to give others hope. It's really what it's about.
Yeah, it really is. We're talking with Greg and Julie Alexander, and the topic is intimacy, and a very different understanding, as we've been discussing, than what the world sees as intimacy. And we'll talk more with them when we come back and give them a chance to promote their website and what they're doing and where they're going in terms of speaking events, Greg and Julie Alexander. Although I will say they're extremely busy with their marriage coaching, so you should contact them if you want to get them on the calendar to speak. They're excellent. We've done retreats with them. They're fabulous. Or as we say in Italia, fantastico. We'll be right back. Always great having the Alexanders on with us. Greg and Julie Alexander from The Alexander House, based in the beautiful Lone Star State of Texas, but they do work online, and you don't have to be in person. You can if you choose, if you're in that part of the country, but they do their coaching online, and it's absolutely, there's so many people that have been blessed by this and have had their lives and their marriages changed. So we're talking about intimacy today. And I wanted to share a story. I told you guys the story during the break, because to me it was so striking. Because we don't realize, Julie, you told the story of that older couple across the street. If you see something like that, if they're holding hands, it's such a beautiful testimony to their love and to marriage. Well, Deacon Dom and I, as you know, do a lot of pilgrimages. And last year, Dom was helping out with a pilgrimage for the women, Wine and Shrine, and he was celebrating Mass with our chaplain. And he met us in Orvieto, and I saw him and ran up to him and gave him a hug and a kiss. And then we were talking, and we're walking toward the group holding hands. And I didn't think anybody noticed, because the ladies were all talking to each other and talking to our guide. And then later on, several of them came up to me and they said, "I hope you don't mind. We took pictures of you and Dominic because it's so obvious the way and so beautiful the way you love each other and aren't afraid to express it." And I mean, I didn't have a problem with it, no big deal. But it's like, wow, that they thought it was that important and that unique that we were holding hands as a married couple.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, it's so sad that it's unique and that they had taken pictures, which tells you that they desire that, because it goes back to that whole thing that you're talking about, Teresa. Every time that we have our workshops, and we have couples there that are engaged all the way to 50-plus years married, and I say that we're so backwards in our ways of living, aren't we? Because when we're engaged or when we're not married, we're all over each other in ways we shouldn't be.
Right.
And then we get married and we stop touching each other. And then we wonder why we have our children saying, "Well, why would you want to get married? Why? What? No, thank you. That doesn't look very attractive. That doesn't look good." And if you go back to even our existence, an infant cannot survive without touch. You could feed the baby, you could change its diaper, but if you did not touch that baby, it would literally die. And we are babies in our marriage. Our marriage is just something to nurture, to bring about to a place where we are fulfilled. We are feeling that we are valued in through the eyes of another. And that's what it's all about. And it starts with and includes that physical touch.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's critically important, because, you know, that simple gesture of holding hands is probably one of the most common ways that we can demonstrate the intimacy that we experience in a marriage relationship. But it also not only allows for a demonstration to the world, but it's a demonstration to your spouse. You know, there's, you know, Julie many times talks about the fact that before we're married, there's always the desire to one day find the beloved. However, when you're married and you feel like you have to seek, there's nothing more devastating than to be married and feeling alone. And so that physical touch, aww, that closeness, yeah, that intimacy, and everything that we can demonstrate to each other, you know, makes me feel secure in the marriage. That I know that I'm loved, I'm valued, I'm cared for, because she reaches over and touches me and pulls me to her, you know, every time. And just a beautiful gesture. And I'm so glad that you were able to touch the hearts of those women there that day. And I'm sure they all probably blew up 24x36 sizes of those pictures to give to their husband. Or maybe even put it on the vacuum cleaner.
Oh,
that's so cute. You're so sweet. But no, it's true. It's just a simple gesture, but it just means so much, and it keeps you connected, you know, to your spouse in such a beautiful way. Now, the other thing too, and I'm glad you brought up the babies, Julie, because I was thinking about that in preparation for the interview. That there's real studies on that, about how babies, if they're not coddled, if they're not, you know, loved, how they die from a lack of personal touch and intimacy.
Yes, it can, and it does, just like in our relationship, Teresa, in our marriages. We always talk about what to do, but often Greg and I tell people to take it away. What happens when it's not met, when physical intimacy is not met? There is a string of ramification. Literally, we talk less, our communication isn't good, we start to argue, we start to be distanced, we start to do things outside of the relationship that we shouldn't be doing, because you decrease your intimacy, and then one or the other oftentimes feels like they're taken for granted and they don't matter. And it goes back to the point, the negative ramifications of not doing this is what gets the marriages in trouble.
So what happens on the other end of the spectrum? I was telling you during the break also about how with my grandnieces, I just, like, eat them alive. I mean, the little ones are like, they love it. But the little baby, Danica, said to me, Aunt Tree, stop, enough. Because I was squeezing her so hard because she's at that age where she's still squishy, and I just can't help it. So is there such a thing as too much?
Oh, man. I guess depending on the individual. For me, no.
For me, yes. That's why we're so good together. Come here and touch me. Here,
that's right, because like, oh, me and Dom, God, you guys, we're so similar. So before we let you go, we have about 2 minutes left. Any suggestions, and Greg, I'll go to you first, in terms of, we mentioned a few things, obviously holding the hands, doing kind deeds for your spouse, understanding them, who they are. But I think praying together also opens up a whole other level of intimacy. So any suggestions on how to get started?
Well, yeah, first of all, I want to say, because I love your listeners, Teresa, because a lot of times after the show, we get these emails wanting more information about the things we talked about. So, yeah, anybody that's listening today, you can still do that. And we can send you a list of things to be able to do for each other in a relationship. And I want to say this right quick today, too. We're only focusing on physical intimacy. In the next subsequent shows, we're going to talk about emotional intimacy, spiritual intimacy, and intellectual intimacy as well. So there's all these different aspects of intimacy in the relationship. But again, much of the things we just talked about, you know, the physical ways that we can touch each other outside of the sexual act, you know, sitting on the couch, putting your hand on your husband's chest and watching TV or listening to music, or, you know, coming home from work and coming up behind your wife and just giving her a big hug and a squeeze and a kiss on the neck. Anything that we can do physically, again, outside of the bedroom, to demonstrate, I love you, I care for you, I desire you. And men, if you do a lot of physical, non-sexual touch outside of the bedroom, I guarantee it's going to equal to more physical intimacy in the bedroom.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, go back to what you were saying, Teresa, there is nothing more intimate in most women, but I will just speak to myself at this point. When Greg comes to me, grabs my hand, and leads me in prayer and takes me closer to God, that physical intimacy, literally, yes, it does include spiritual, but the physical intimacy of me saying, wow, he cares enough for me to bring me to God the Father and to help me open my heart and to do God's will this day. Oh, my goodness. It literally allows my guard of any kind, my frustration, my anxiety, whatever it is, it just falls away. And I am there underneath Greg's arm, literally feeling so protected. Mm. Because he's leading me to God in prayer. And, wow, there's nothing greater than that.
Yeah. Well, gosh, I'm looking forward to the next couple of segments. This is so exciting. So we're going to be covering emotional intimacy, spiritual intimacy. Greg, what was the last one you said, hon?
Intellectual intimacy.
Intellectual. Ooh, we're getting into the heavy Aquinas stuff now. Ooh, this is going to be big.
Well, you talk to me, it won't be that big.
You guys are awesome. I love you. I love these segments because you're so real and you're just, you know, really just nice people and you care so much. And you're real, and that's what's so important because you've been there, done that, and as we say, bought the T-shirt more than once. The Alexanders, Greg and Julie, Marriage Disciples. Check out their wonderful ministry, thealexanderhouse.org. You guys speaking anytime soon anywhere in Texas or elsewhere?
Not anytime soon, Teresa. We've been spending a lot of time with Robin, training other marriage disciples. So a lot of times you mentioned Greg and Julie, but we now have 8 other couples that serve as marriage disciples. And we have 2
awesome
waiting in the week to train. So awesome.
Great. But seriously, if you've never had them at your parish, they're wonderful speakers and presenters and a lot of fun and very real. TheAlexanderHouse.org. We'll be right back to wrap up with Father Joseph Fessio from Ignatius Press. Stay tuned. always great to catch up with the wonderful folks at Ignatius Press, especially Father Joseph Fascio, the founder and editor, and also the spokesperson for the Ignatius Book Fairs. And the book fairs are really a great opportunity. We're going to get into that in a minute, but just a little bit of background. As we mentioned, Father Fascio is the founder and editor of Ignatius. And the primary, by the way, English language publisher of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI's writings and the publisher of Catholic World Report. Father Fascio, by the way, writing his dissertation under the direction of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, then Professor Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger. Father, always great to have you on, and happy Easter. We're in the Easter octave. So I know you guys have been so busy at Ignatius Press. Tell us, though, give us an idea of what the book fairs are all about and how do people access them. Good morning.
Yeah, well, it's very easy to access. You just go to IgnatiusBookFairs.com on the web, and you'll see our webpage there, and you can get all the information you want. You can sign up. We have a lot of demand. We just started with two pilot fairs in December for Advent, and now we've got 26 going this spring. We have about 50 already lined up for the fall, so there's a tremendous demand there. But, you know, I started years ago, five, 6 years ago, when we found Scholastic started to kind of woke, you know. And, of course, Scholastic has been around for a long time. I'm 83, and they were around when I was a kid. Book fairs in schools, book clubs in schools, and wholesome reading. Things you got people who enjoy reading and love to read. They had good books. But they began going wobbly a while back. And Mark Middendorf of Wavemeyer University, then he was with the Augustine Institute, and I went and visited one of their fairs here in San Francisco, and it was terrible what they had there. We got to do something. Well, COVID came, we kind of delayed, but then after COVID was over, well, it never really hit, actually, but after the COVID scare was over, we revived the thing, and things have gotten worse in schools, as you know, even though you're in Greece now, I think. Over here, the schools have been pretty disastrous. In fact, I had a fellow came into my office just a couple of weeks ago. His fifth grade son was in a public school, and they had this health lesson. And here's some of the things the kid had on his little book that he brought back. True or false? A latex glove or barrier should be used to avoid contact with another person's body or blood or body fluids. Family home assignment. Ask your parents when they first learned about HIV and AIDS. This is for fifth grade, Teresa.
Wow.
There's a picture of a woman's body. You know, a huge picture of this where you have to label all the parts. I mean, just the parts in the middle, you know, there. And then here's a mythological, biological male myths and facts. Myth, a person with a penis can pee and ejaculate at the same time through the same tube, urethra. I mean, this is a fifth grade, you know. So
yeah, I know. It's pretty graphic, but it's a reminder of what there is out there. But not only that, it's happening even at younger ages where they're introducing these books with an LGBTQ agenda and transgender agenda, and then also with these drag queen story hours, Father, at these different public libraries for kids, for babies.
I know. And it's Scholastic is now as part of this. I mean, they have their diversity package, which they require you to take when you're having a book fair. And, it's, you know, it's a two mommy stuff. It's actually... A lot of it is pornographic, really.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, even if Scholastic were what it was in the 1950s, let's say, they don't have Catholic books. There are 95% of the Catholic schools. There's 5,000 Catholic grammar schools, and 95% of them have Scholastic. Well, of course, it was a good thing for many, many years. But even at its best, there are no Lives of the Saints, nothing on the sacraments, nothing on the Eucharist. So we have about 70% of our books at our clubs are non-Catholic books. You know, books on building castles or wood carving and stories and little history here and there, board books for little kids. So we have a great selection of the wonderful non-Catholic books. But then we also have, as I said, the lives of the saints and the history of the church and those kinds of things for children. And by the way, you probably know this, but Ignatius Press about 10 years ago formed a partnership with Magnificat. Basic, you know, they're a French organization, have the Magnificat book here in the United States as well. But they're a part of a French publisher called Fleurus Mam, It's a great big Catholic publisher in France, and they have a huge inventory of children's books. They're doing new ones every year. And so we take their best ones, they're 5 or 6 a year, have them translated, and we sell them with Magnificat. And so already Ignatius Press has about 200 very fine children's books for, you know, Catholic books for children. So anyway, it was providential. We had the inventory, we had a relationship with the publishers, we had the structure, we had the warehouse. So we're just turning it on, going full speed ahead.
Yeah, I just want to remind folks to check out more information about the Ignatius Book Fairs. As Father Fessio said, ignatiusbookfairs.com. So you just go to the website and you can see it's pretty easy, Father. You fill out the information, you know, what you'd like to do, when you'd like to have it, and then you pick it up from there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We got a great team of people that are very experienced with book fairs. I mean, you know, most serious reading Catholic moms have been volunteers at book fairs in their kids' school. And so we're drawing on that experience. We have a team around the country that we're assembling of great Catholic moms who know what they're doing in this. And by the way, there's another outfit you probably heard of called Well Read Mom.
Mm-hmm.
They're about 10,000 strong around the country. It's not specifically a Catholic group, but there's a lot of Catholics in it who run it. And so we're going to work in partnership with them. We already are. So that we can have, you know, local support for these book fairs in the schools. And it's very easy. We send you 250 titles or so, 4 or 5 copies each. You scan them in, put them out on tables, you sell them. We have a special device we have with an app on it that makes it real easy to do the cashier operation. And then when it's finished, you scan what's left, send it back, and it's over. Now, there's a lot of work there, but it's pretty simple work with 4 or 5 people volunteering. It's easily done. And it also makes money for the school. You get 40%, you know, of rewards for all their sales if it's over $5,000. 20% if it's under $5,000.
Yeah, so it's certainly worth it on so many levels, and most of all because of the content that they're getting here that they're not getting and what they're unfortunately being exposed to with these other so-called, you know, book fair events. Because what you're doing is you're really packaging it so people can just go ahead and put this into practice in their own locations.
That's right. We're making, Rose Strapik has been kind of our director of operations. She also works for Ignatius Press. Her husband is a philosophy professor at Ave Maria University. And, you know, she has got this thing down to just a turnkey thing. It's a lot of work, but, I mean, we make it really user-friendly for the school.
And so what's been the feedback since you've been busy at this for a while, Father?
People are delighted. Some have good suggestions for improvements, which is good. We're happy with those. But they're delighted to see the selection of books we have, both the Catholic and the non-Catholic books. And they just, for them, it's the answer to a prayer. But there's one diocese with 70 schools in it. A superintendent of schools called, said, "We want you here. You know, we gotta replace Scholastic." So I think it's, I'm just glad that we're doing this. You know, Teresa, what's my interest in this? I'm an old celibate priest. I have no kids of my own, mm-hmm. but all these kids are my kids.
Right.
They're the mother church's kids, right? And they're being fed poison. And it's mixed with honey, so they it tastes good. No, we have to stop that.
Well, you're a spiritual father, and you care. You care about your children. That's why you're doing this, and that's why you do Ignatius Press.
Yeah.
Talking with Father Fessio, the website for Ignatius Book Fairs, ignatiusbookfairs.com. Any idea how many of these right now are going on, Father? Just like you have a general understanding in terms of numbers?
All right, at this very moment, it's about 4 going on. But, I mean,
okay.
We did about 3 or 4 a week during this spring semester. We're going to up that quite a bit in the fall semester. Basically, our principle is anybody who wants a book fair will have it when they want it. We'll not turn anybody away. Now, if we get a deluge that's overwhelming, we'll have to maybe temper that a bit. But as it is now, if you want a great book fair with Catholic books in it as well as other books, go to that site, sign up, and you're going to have it.
Yeah, you know, whatever happened to the days of the good old classics? I mean, it just seems to me so sad. Like, I mean, there's so many books that I read, and of course, I'm a lot older than the kids now. I'm in my mid-60s, but gosh, I can remember, you know, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn and so many other books that I read as a kid, you know, and that were just really good stories about human beings. And we just don't see that anymore.
Teresa, we're bringing them back. You'll see it. You'll see it on our website. We've got those books and more. By the way, we're part of a larger movement, the classical school movement, you know, the charter school movement, you know, back to basics. Finally, the pendulum is swinging in the right direction. Now, politically, we'll see what happens there, but certainly religiously, it's almost a revival going on.
Well, this is what we have to do, though, Father. Don't you agree? Because it has to be one-on-one and making sure that we're exposing children, especially at the youngest ages, to the truth and to the beauty of the world. And that includes, of course, exposure to really good, solid books, Catholic and otherwise, to make sure that they have good tools and they learn about life properly and beautifully through the written
Catholic,
word as well.
Catholic books, Catholic radio, Catholic television, Catholic blogs. I find the church is extremely healthy here in the United States, especially among the laity, because they're doing all these things.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing is important, but I'm the only priest involved. Everyone else is a layman, you know. Together, we're making this happen.
Wow,
and
we're
going to meet the need, but Teresa, Scholastic is a $1.6 billion company. They have 120,000 book fairs every year. They sell 38% of the children's books in the U.S. We're not going to match that very soon. But we're going to make a dent. You know, Jesus chose 12 out of about 2 million Jews in Israel at the time. And what he did, you know, was create the church. So we're not worried about the fact that we're small right now. But anybody who wants a good book fair, we're going to provide it for them.
Well, Father, you have to start somewhere. So given the fact that so many people, I really think, especially with some of the nonsense we saw this week coming out of the White House and you know, in terms of, don't even get me started on that. We've had it in the news. But I think people are getting fed up. And even if they're not Catholic and they're brothers and sisters in the faith, or maybe they're just people who are just fed up with the culture, this is a great opportunity for them as well. So I would encourage them, especially if they're concerned about kids. And even if they don't have kids of their own, this is a great thing to support. So check it out. It's very, very easy to follow and figure out. You just contact them, and they've got the whole package quite literally ready to help you set it up. So go to IgnatiusBookFairs.com. IgnatiusBookFairs.com. Father, great to speak with you.
All right. God bless you, Commissioner, and your work.
Thanks for all you do, especially for Ignatius, but, of course, getting us information about the wonderful Benedict XVI and your familiarity with him and his great work. Okay, again, IgnatiusBookFairs.com. IgnatiusBookFairs.com. Also, check out the Cabrini book that they just reissued from Ignatius Press. It's really great. I think it's Too Small a World is the title, if my memory serves me correctly. It's really, really good. It is 52 minutes past the hour on the Tuesday, octave of Easter. Here we are, Easter week. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We are going to take just a little bit of a break, and then we'll be right back wrapping up and letting you know what's coming up on a Wednesday on Catholic Connection, which, of course, is co-produced by Ave Maria Radio here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and EWTN in Irondale, Alabama. Stay tuned. More coming up.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Modern philosophers Kierkegaard, Shelley, Sartre proposed the idea that existence precedes essence, by which they meant, in simpler terms, that in the process of time we make or create who and what we are. We understand, of course, that there are those who believe that their doing has been more successful than that of others, and have consequently argued that their being is on a higher state than that of others. This is the kind of thinking that leads to genocide, gas chambers, and abortion clinics. However, Folks like Barb and Patrick and Paul and Alicia believe that from the beginning, human essence is divinely ordered and infinitely valuable. And where else can we state this more clearly than our defense of preborn children, who cannot prove themselves or justify themselves? They can only be, which is why they are so precious to one named I Am. Go to GuadalupeWorkers.org.
Okay, so I get this straight. Tomorrow is Wednesday. I just got to remind myself because it feels like a Tuesday. But today's Tuesday, tomorrow's Wednesday. Okay, that means because tomorrow is Wednesday, we have our very own Joni, Joan Lewis, of course. And you can see her as well as hear her on EWTN. You can see her on EWTN television on At Home with the wonderful Jim and Joy Pinto, where she provides wonderful reports from the Eternal City of Rome. And she'll join us tomorrow for a wrap-up of all the big Easter events. Now, the Holy Father took it a little bit easy on Good Friday, and because of health concerns, did not do the Stations of the Cross at the Colosseum. However, they were still very beautiful, and the Holy Father actually wrote the stations in terms of the commentary and reflections. If you haven't read them yet, I would highly recommend it. They're beautiful. And that's another thing I did on Friday. I found the link on EWTN and Vatican News and read all the stations and prayed with them. And then I watched some of the recordings that we had because, obviously, it's late if we were to follow it live, but just beautiful and just so many great resources. If you sign up for the EWTN free newsletter, I'm telling you, there's such great information, especially on such huge holidays and holy days as Easter. You just can't go wrong. So check it out, EWTN.com. And just as an update, I did email back and forth. Remember our friend Keith, who joined us last week, who came into the church over the weekend? He sent me some pictures. We're probably going to re-air his testimony because we had such a good response. And what a moving email in terms of what it feels like for him to be Catholic. And I'm telling you that, brothers and sisters, because if you didn't hear the interview, he said EWTN Ave Maria Radio, a huge part in his conversion. So thank you. Talk to you tomorrow on a Wednesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.